The Outlook, a dry evening. David Roby, Radio Hallam News at 7.
Take it away! I'm bored with roast peacock.
My lord, methinks a lark's tongue will tempt thee, or grilled swan's wings perchance?
No, woman! Oh. All at once a man hath a feeling, an urge there can be no concealing. What taketh my fancy is something that hath an exquisite taste and delicate beauty no man can resist.
Oh, my lord.
Verily, I fancy some Walker's crisps.
I'm talking to Miss Natasha Pointovich, the Russian ballerina with the world-famous legs. Miss Pointovich, you've broken short your tour with the Red Army Cossack team to stay here in England. Was there a disagreement?
Niet. I stay here for my legs.
Oh?
At your supermarkets, I am finding these galaxy tights by Pretty Polly, which are making my legs more attractive, da.
Da. I mean, yes.
They are coming in many shades and styles for very small monies.
That's why you're staying here. But what about your fans back in Russia?
Well, they still have the Cossack team, don't they?
Not anymore.
Galaxy tights from Pretty Polly, now on sale at most supermarkets. Pretty Polly brings back lovely legs.
Any post, Mum?
Looks like your grant's okay, dear.
Great.
Well, your father's talked to his bank manager about opening your account.
Well, not Dad's bank, Mum. My bank. Lloyd's Bank.
Lloyd's Bank?
Where else? They give new students 50% off student rail cards, or a £4 book token, and free banking, if I stay in credit. Where else could I go but Lloyd's?
What will your father say?
Discover the best reasons ever for new students to open an account at Lloyd's Bank. Ask at your nearest branch.
To Keith Skies at Radio Hallam, this is Telly Savalas saying, who loves you, baby?
Good evening, Telly. I guess a lot of your fans love you. We're tracing the 5-year history of Radio Hallam, and so far we've reached the year 1978. Panic, panic, panic. Can we get in 78 and 79 in the next hour? Matter of having to, folks. It was in April that Mrs. Lillian Douthwise escaped when she decided to get up early and visit the hairdressers. Literally minutes after leaving the bedroom of her home at the Crown Inn at Ollerton, the ceiling caved in. Hundreds of tenants of the Langset and Kelvin Council developments in Sheffield were told that they would receive a refund on heating charges after the breakdown of their respective heating systems. 1978 for Radio Hallam was service time. We visited Northern Ireland to meet the 13th, 18th Hussars at Omagh, and I volunteered to join the Royal Air Force north of Labrador on an Arctic survival course in temperatures of minus 40 degrees Celsius to play at pilots. Wing Commander Kevin Dibb, an officer commanding Royal Air Force Goose Bay.
Well, as you know, the Royal Air Force depends very much on low-level tactics for its credibility, and it's therefore most important that we should be able to practice low-flying techniques. Now, England is a very small country in aeroplane terms, and it's also highly populated and with a lot of air traffic. And so it's quite difficult for us to arrange low-level training in the UK. Now, Canada, on the other hand, has vast open spaces which are quite unpopulated, and therefore Goose Bay gives us the opportunity for some extremely valuable low-level training. So our main role here is to provide a training base for single aircraft detachments from the UK who carry out a week's low-level training before returning back to their bases in the United Kingdom.
Does the wing commander ever receive complaints from the local population about low-level flying?
Well, no, that is one of the advantages of Goose Bay. The problems in the UK of noise generated by practice low flying are, of course, very great. But Goose Bay has a very small population, and our routes are well away from here in the unpopulated areas.
Another part of Canada to which Radio Hallam was invited was Medicine Hat in Calgary on the t'other side. There we caught up with the Duke of Wellington's regiment, many soldiers of whom come from South Yorkshire. Colonel Michael Bray explains his links with this part of the world.
Well, we're very lucky in being one of the few regiments in the British Army that has managed to preserve its traditional association with one area of Britain. Lucky, first of all, because we've still preserved our original identity as the Duke of Wellington's regiment. And secondly, lucky in that Yorkshire being a big place, we are able to recruit all our men from one county. From the time that I first joined the regiment, we've always had over 90% of our men from Yorkshire. And there are a few other regiments who are so fortunate.
Roger Moffat introduced a concert at the City Hall, Sheffield, on the 14th of May, 1978. It featured the Northern Dance Orchestra, a packed house with 2,000 listeners from Hallamland. We join Roger, name-dropping as ever.
I would like to say good evening and hello to the mayor and mayoress of Chesterfield. I don't know whereabouts you are in the audience. I'm not surprised you're here this evening, because there's nothing to do in Chesterfield, is there? Naughty boy! That's lost me a lot of listeners in Chesterfield, but we do, wherever you are and whoever you are, we do welcome you most sincerely to Sheffield, the mayor and mayoress of Chesterfield. I understand also that there are a lot of policemen in here. I think it's the assistant chief constable. I'm not quite sure whether you're all here. The last time you came to one of our gatherings, it rather upset things. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alan Ainsworth. I can remember when you lived in Bolton, in one of those scrubby old places.
No, don't say anything about Bolton. We've got back in the First Division, Roger.
Or was it Blackburn?
No, it was Bolton.
Bolton, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember your mum used to ask me around for tea.
That's right, yeah. Yes. When you drank tea.
Yes. Right, 1-2 Ainsworth, Moffat, 0. You wait. I shall go off in a minute. And mind you, I've been off for a year. Thank you, I think, on behalf of people in Hallamland, because you are a rather important person.
Well, thanks, Roger. I've always wanted to be on the Muppet Show anyway.
Moffat Show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Because this is Radio Harlem, isn't it?
Harlem? Hallam.
Tell me, yeah. What time are you on in the morning?
I don't know. What went wrong with your hair? That stuff, that Grecian stuff.
Oh, the Grecian 2000.
Yeah,
didn't
Grecian
2000.
No, as I said, it's very kind of you to come up, because I know you're very busy in London doing all these television things.
About 12 months ago, we did the fifth of Beethoven, which was Beethoven's fifth, and now we're going to do the fifth of Tchaikovsky, which is Tchaikovsky's fifth.
70% proof.
Nothing less.
Mr. Ainsworth, Alan Ainsworth, the orchestra is all yours.
Thank you. Radio Hallam, round the clock, 24 hours a day.
Well, they can supercharge their hot rods, they can fuel inject the motors. But all I need's an ice box to cool my Pepsi Colas. Well, a fist full of Pepsi makes the chicks miss a beat.
Nice motor, fellas. Wow, Pepsi, that's neat.
So when you're cruising with your buddies and you want to jump the queues, lip-smacking Pepsi cues the summertime blues.
Lip-smacking Pepsi cues the summertime blues.
Hello, Jack. This is a surprise. I thought you always drove to work.
Not anymore. No more queuing for petrol or traffic jams for me. In my case, I actually get to work faster.
I know, especially now because they've just added more trains on the busiest routes.
And it's so much more comfortable. It's nice arriving to work relaxed.
And don't forget, it can be cheaper with a season ticket.
You know, I should have done this years ago.
Now more than ever, when you're going somewhere, think again. Take the train.
We're looking at 5 years of Hallam, going from 74 to 79, and we're up to the year 1978. Let's catch up with the news from Roger Brooks.
Remember the big freeze? That lasted from December of 1978 to March of this year. It was the worst winter on record, with more snow falling during a mid-January weekend than during any other weekend in the previous 16 years. 15.5 inches in all. What made matters worse was that the municipal workers went on strike in February and there were no road clearing services. It didn't make much difference, though, as the gritting lorries hadn't been able to cope for the previous 2 months. Sheffield was completely cut off from the other side of the Pennines. One driver died trying to clear his car from a snowdrift, and for the record, the snow started falling on November the 25th and began to settle on December the 2nd. From then on, the city had 45 days. That's a month and a half of snow. Industry and business were hard hit. Outdoor sports came to a standstill. On the night of May the 16th, 1978, a young Worksop police constable was murdered. He was 19-year-old Christopher MacDonald of Worksop. His body was found in the River Ryton in the town. 3 men were later charged. Christopher had always wanted to be a policeman, even from when he was at school. But he'd been a policeman only 9 months when he was killed, and only 8 weeks before the murder, he went out on patrol alone for the very first time. 1,200 mourners attended the funeral at Worksop's Priory Church. The Bishop of Southwell, the Right Reverend Dennis Wakeling, interrupted his holiday to give the address. The Queen was represented by the Lord Lieutenant of Nottinghamshire, and 27 other police forces in Britain were represented by 109 officers, including the Chief Constable of South Yorkshire and the Deputy Assistant Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police. The funeral was also attended by several civic dignitaries.
News from 1978. Roger Moffat has been late for his show on a number of occasions over the last 5 years. We were delighted to welcome to our radio station in the year 1978 Bruce Windham, who presented the late night programme and sometimes depped for Roger. Sadly, after this recording, which I shall play in just a moment's time, Bruce passed away at the age of 61. But we shall always remember him as a cheerful, happy-go-lucky person, and here he meets up with his own rival, Mr. Roger Moffat.
Shh! You know who's just arrived in the studio. Take no notice. Ignore him. He might go away. Beg your pardon. Roger!
Yes, sir. Yes, dearest.
Where have you been? You should have been here at 9 o'clock.
Why? What happened?
Well, nothing. That poor old Colin Slade, who'd been at it since 5.
We should have been broadcasting, shouldn't he?
Well, yeah, no, lucky fella.
Yes.
What have you been doing, please?
I've been having my pictures took.
And your fingerprints?
Yeah, and they took those first.
Well, I don't know why you bothered to come in. There's only an hour to go. Mm. Did you hear me?
No, I didn't.
Wasn't I good?
No. Oh. I mean, no, well, I didn't hear you, I mean. I don't know whether you were good or not.
Well,
probably
no,
not.
I wasn't good on purpose because Key said, don't be too good, otherwise Roger won't be very surprised to learn he isn't on tomorrow either.
I see.
Yes, well, I thought I worked on...
Yes, I did hear that you were trying to put the job finders... spot out at 9:45.
Well, I wanted a quick
job. I heard
job.
About that, and then you couldn't even find the right buttons.
I wanted a quick job in case I didn't do too well today. I found one. I'm going for one on the job finder spot. Lovely job. It pays more than Radio Hallam. Babysitting for a blonde 16-year-old girl.
Very nice indeed.
Now then.
Wait a minute. What rubbishy jokes have you told this morning?
I've told some very nice ones about you, about when you went into hospital and I came to visit you. And you grab my hand. Well, it's true.
Yeah, and
you said it, so kind.
I remember that one.
Yeah, thank you. I was almost
at death's door.
There you are.
And you struck. No, you struck a match on the oxygen bottle.
I was tipping ourselves to death. No, I was
tipping
on the tube. You didn't realise that. You couldn't breathe. Now, let's simmer
down.
It's
perfectly true. You did strike a match on the oxygen bottle. Yes, well. And the doctor nearly went round the bed.
No wonder you've got that horrible gash in your face. Oh, no, that's your mouth. That's your mouth. Tell me, let's be serious.
Normal services.
You've only got, two more days to go before you go on Halls.
Yes, it was my passport for photo I was having taken.
why bother? Use that old one I've seen of you with a smirk. Oh, terrible. And those ears sticking out. Oh, where are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going France.
I beg your pardon?
France.
Est-ce que vous parlez le français?
Eh?
Est-ce que vous parlez le français?
What you say?
Can you speak one word in French?
Oui.
How far do you think that's going to get you?
It gets me to the public lavatories anyway.
In France it would.
Yes.
Now watch it, because everybody drinks wine in France. All the children from the age of 3 drink wine. I've never seen so many drunk children in my life. So you watch it. Now then, may I wish you the very best on your halls. And what am I going to do without you when you've gone?
Well, you can still make the stupid remarks that you always have done, I suppose. Yeah. You're going to do the morning show, aren't you?
Oh, that's right. Yes, Keith did tell me.
Yeah, well, would you remember the job finder thing goes at a quarter to 11 or thereabouts?
Don't rub it in.
And can I also tell you another thing that you might like to know, which I only found out by accident yesterday? The clock in the office is 4 minutes slow.
Oh, no wonder you were late.
No, I was having
a
picture taken. Right. It's awful, you know, it's perishing out there.
That's enough. May I just
say... No, you can't. It's absolutely perishing. We've got...
What do you mean it's perishing?
It's very cold out there in the streets. We were sitting on the City Hall steps.
Oh, you're cold at the wrong end.
Yeah. We were. Yeah, you should have heard Beverly Chubb. She was complaining about some sort of infection
cheeks.
She might have been
she
getting.
She must have had chubby cheeks after that.
She was.
Sitting on the stone steps.
Yeah, on the stones. They're very cold. And we've got these funny looking jackets now with our names on.
Do you know?
CBS.
Yes, I'm terribly sorry.
I know you like to get every word in, and you don't like me to say a damn thing, do you?
I think the
listeners... Well, I'd like to finish, please.
We've been talking
We look like a lot of petrol pump attendants.
Yes, I've seen you, yes.
And I don't know what people thought of us sitting there. Because yesterday... Oh, now I can take you to task for a moment. Yesterday at Retford, you didn't allow me to say one single word. 4 words.
Well, you were trying to hog it.
Every time I came anywhere near you, you shoved the microphone behind you.
Look, we've been talking for 6 minutes now.
I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, I know. Well, think of the listeners.
I would like to say to my devoted friends that I trust I shall be back, and if you can put up with Bruce Wyndham for a fortnight, don't desert Radio Hallam. you'll probably think that you should.
Because
it's a load of rubbish when you're on. Tripe.
All I can say is get lost in France. I wish we had that record here to play now. I'm going to play it next week.
Well, I'm going home now, then. Yeah.
Bruce and Roger in 1978, a year that saw a number of outside broadcasts, including the Sheffield Show, the Arndale Centre Doncaster, Treaton Colliery, Lindsay String Quartet, Susie Quattro at the City Hall, Radio Hallam in Northern Ireland with the 2nd Battalion, the Light Infantry, and we also had the Light Welterweight Championship of Great Britain. We visited the Mansion House in Doncaster, and we also went across to Tommy Ward's in Sheffield, celebrated their 100th anniversary in that very same year, 1978.
And here are Thomas Ward's, Howard John speaking, and speaking to Peter Gilman. Peter tells me that he is a local director and the general manager of the machinery division. What does that do, Peter?
The machinery division are suppliers of used and new equipment, and I would say that almost anyone who has any involvement in engineering is a potential customer for the Ward Machinery Division.
Could you describe the sort of thing that you deal with to the ordinary housewife who's listening?
Some of the names might not mean a lot to the ordinary housewife, but we handle a wide range of machine tools, borers, planers, milling machines. We handle fabricating equipment, shears, guillotines. We handle small tools. We handle presses, hydraulic presses, mechanical presses. We manufacture generating sets for standby power.
How big would the biggest thing be?
The The largest item that we have currently in our inventory is a very large Noble&Lund Plano milling machine, which is 30 foot by 14 by 10, that has a sales value of £280,000. That contrasts with the smallest item, which is a drill costing something like £3.
Good gracious me. And it seems to be that this company is always growing. That seems to me to be the motto of the company, looking forward and growing. What new developments are you making now?
We've got a lot of new developments in the pipeline. We're entering the higher technology field of NC-controlled equipment. We're expanding our generating set activities to cope with the very high demand worldwide. And we're also expanding many more of our other activities, getting into larger, more modern types of machinery on the used side.
You say worldwide. Do you go out from Sheffield to other countries?
Oh, yes, yes. Myself and some of my colleagues have spent a lot of time abroad. This is the only way to sell overseas. You can't do it behind a desk here in Sheffield.
Where?
You've got to go out and see them. We've spent a lot of time in the Middle East, in Africa, and in Europe. Europe in particular, we go to Europe just for the day.
Now, you go there in competition with people from all sorts of countries. What
That's
sort of
right.
reception do you get from the business people there?
Usually very good. I think that British products have still got a good reputation, and British people are still well received. They seem to like the British temperament as against some other countries.
Tommy Wards and Howard John. 24 minutes now past the hour of 7 o'clock. Let's catch up. Oh, incidentally, we also were present at the installation of the Master Cutler at the Cutler's Hall in Sheffield just in November of last year. Let's catch up with some of the music now from 1978.
Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Where are you all coming from?
From Swerveland, where we belong.
Are you talking just like us?
No, we smurf, it's much less fuss.
Do you do things that we don't dare?
We are real smurfs, so we don't care.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. They have everything that you're meant to enjoy. You can hang out with all the boys. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Sadly, we've got to move on. There's so much for 78 which we can't, in fact, play. I've got hundreds of inserts which I've had to, unfortunately, not play. Let's move on to 1979. Certainly, as far as Hallam's concerned, it's been a very mayoral year. We've had the honour of meeting up with the Lord Mayor and Lady Mayoress of Sheffield, as well as the Mayor of Doncaster and the Mayor of Rotherham. Let's go on and really see what the news of 1979 is, what we've missed so far this year.
One of the dominant issues of the past 5 years has been the uncertainty over whether or not Sheffield would get the Manpower Services Commission from London. The dithering went back to 1975, when the government first announced that the MSC would move to Sheffield as part of their policy of decentralising government departments. Work was started at Moorfoot on a £5 million headquarters, and it was halfway to completion when, with a changeover in government, the Tories announced a rethink on the policy of moving the commission. Pressure from civil servants' unions in London on behalf of colleagues who'd already taken steps to move to Sheffield resulted in final confirmation by the government that the MSC would move after all. So the huge building at Moorfoot should be finished by mid-1981, the target date, and about 1,900 civil servants, most of them executive grades, will be coming to Sheffield between now and 1983 to staff the headquarters. The first batch moved up in September. 60 men and women started work in temporary offices as the spearhead of the invasion from London. Radio Hallam was at the scene in May this year at the tragedy of the Matlock double murder. 15-year-old Lorraine Underwood from Cromford in Derbyshire and her 18-year-old boyfriend Peter Thompson from Mansfield went out on an Easter Sunday walk from which they never returned. Their bodies were found at Ball Eye Quarry above Matlock Bath, a popular beauty spot. Lorraine had been battered to death and Peter had been blasted with a shotgun. They'd been buried in shallow graves and covered with boulders. A massive police hunt was immediately launched, which included interviews with local Hells Angels gangs, people who'd been walking at the quarry on the murder day, and sifting through Derbyshire's 17,000 licensed shotgun holders. 5 weeks later, a man was charged in connection with the killings.
Radio Hallam was born on Tuesday, October the 1st, 1974, and so were a number of youngsters in Hallamland. Here's Kelly Temple talking to James Wood of Kiverton Park, who was born on the same day, the same year. He probably doesn't remember too much about Radio Hallam going on the air that early in the morning. Kelly.
Did you know Radio Hallam is five on the same day?
Mm.
Did you know that? How did you know that then?
Mum told me.
Oh, does she listen to Radio Hallam?
Mm.
Does she? When does she listen?
Don't know.
You're not sure? Yeah. Do you listen to Radio Hallam?
Yes.
Do you? Now, when do you listen?
Same time as my mum.
Same time as your mum? But you don't know when she listens?
No.
No. Do you listen in the morning or in the afternoon?
In the morning.
In the morning. Good heavens, that's amazing, isn't it? And do you have any brothers and sisters?
Brothers.
You have some brothers, do you? How many?
Two.
Two, and what are they called?
Most of them are Andrew.
Uh-huh. And how old are they?
I'm 13 and I'm 10.
I see, so they're big brothers, are they? And Mum is who?
No,
she's having to think.
No, I'm Valerie Wood.
Valerie Wood. Mm. And of course we've been talking to your little son, James Wood, who celebrates his fifth birthday at the same time as Radio Hallam.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Did you plan to have your son at the same time?
No, he should have come the day after, but he came a day early.
Oh, I see. What time was he born?
20 past 5 in the afternoon.
20 past 5. So really, he was a little bit later than Hallam.
Mm. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Have you listened to Hallam from the start?
No, not really, because on the radio that we had before, we couldn't always get it on that one for some unknown reason. But since we had a new one, I have, and I listen to it at work. Of course, it's on all day at work.
Sure. Mm. Do you have a preference of personality?
Not really. No, it doesn't really make much difference.
No. What do you like about Radio Hallam?
Well, it's the local news, really. You know, you get to know sort of during the winter when the weather was bad. It was good to know when the buses were running and when they weren't running and things like that.
Do you ever listen to Hallam for company?
Yes, when I'm in the house, you know, by myself. Yeah.
Do you find people like Roger Moffat? Does he keep you company because he talks so much?
He goes on and on, I think. He just seems to say nothing in the end.
I shall tell him that.
Yes.
So
I was told to say that, actually, from my friends at work.
Yes. So we're 5 years old. Will you be listening to us for another 5 years?
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Valerie Wood She mentioned, incidentally, the bad conditions of the winter of 1978-79, which heralded the infamous snow line on Hallam. Here is part of that marathon series of broadcasts.
Snow Minister Dennis Howell is in Sheffield. He's seeing at first hand the effects of some of the worst weather for over 30 years. He flew into the city by helicopter about an hour ago. At the moment, he's touring South Yorkshire Police headquarters to see how the emergency services are being coordinated. Mr. Howell told us what he'd seen when he flew over the city.
A very desolate situation, obviously. The motorways, thankfully, seem to be open. Some of the other A roads, some roads obviously are down to one lane. There's some isolation of cars and abandoned cars. We did see one or two snow ploughs, but generally a rather desolate picture.
And here in Sheffield, of course, the road gritters that did return to work this morning have gone back on strike again. What would you say to them?
Well, I'm very sorry to hear it, and I would appeal to them in the spirit of the agreement between the government and the TUC, which was reached this week, to return to their post, because there's obviously a question of public danger here, public safety, and that is the same priority now as public health has been in other recent disputes where they have acknowledged the overriding need of public health. I would hope they would acknowledge the overriding need of public safety.
Mr. Howell also says the government is prepared to give...
To give Graham a rest, yes, yes. The journey from Rotherham to here is fine this morning, if anybody's planning to make it.
Good,
yes. British Rail on the rails tell us that they're just about ready and still trying to put their hardest hit service back into operation. That, of course, is the Sheffield to Barnsley run, which has been crippled by drifting snow and frozen points. The first scheduled train was due to leave Midland Station at 10:41, but the way things are, it might still be there. They say that it could be running rather late, and, of course, the obvious thing to do is, if you want that train from Sheffield Midland Station to Barnsley, if you go along and that one is still there, then you have a chance to catch it. And if it's gone, it means that the line is open, so you have a chance if you wait for the next one. There's still some problems on the services coming into Sheffield from the south. British Rail say some trains are running 70 to 80 minutes late. Those stations that have been specially opened to deal with commuters, just in case you're stuck and want to catch a train, Dore, Dronfield and Wadsley Bridge, they'll be open again all day today. Few more cancellations and still opens. The Robin Hood Fish Bar on Attercliffe Road is open as usual today for business. The Greenhill Bradway Youth Centre is open from 11 this morning until 3 p.m. and from 7 p.m. until 10 o'clock tonight. So that's from 11 until 3 this afternoon and from 7 o'clock tonight until 10 o'clock tonight at the Greenhill Bradway Youth Centre. A cancellation, the United Baptist Church at Rotherham, their Discovery Club and Young People's Fellowship.
Oh, Matilda, I thought the gentleman would never retire to the billiards room, and I'm near fainting from sheer excitement.
Dear Maud, what can it be? You tremble so. Please tell me. Do.
'Tis our secret, promise. Well, none other than that handsome Giacomo Casanova did boldly squeeze me behind the aspidistra, pledging most passionately his eternal love. And more.
And more?
To my astonishment, he next did graciously present this exquisite gold locket, whispering, true love is priceless. 'Twas odd, though. As he left, he laughed and whispered, but not at Bramwell's gold room.
Put gold in the life of the love of your life at Bramwell's.
Outside broadcast continued in 1979, including Royal Air Force Finningley Open Day earlier this month, the Rothmans Radio Hallam International Jazz Festival at the Crucible, Granville College Sheffield, the Concertgebouw Orchestra of Amsterdam at the City Hall, Catherine School Ventnor in the Isle of Wight, the Royal Horse Artillery at Topcliffe, North Yorkshire, two broadcasts from the Fiesta Club with the Terry Clayton Show Band, we had the pancake race from the Sheffield Cathedral Forecourt, and the Lord Mayor's Parade, which began by the Wicker and ended at Norfolk Park. Mike Rouse was in charge.
And if it sounds a little bit silly on Rice Saturday today, it's because we're on the back of the float in the Lord Mayor's Parade. We've just passed the old town hall. We're just going past the new town hall now. They're joined together. It's rather good, actually, putting one next to the other. Anyway, Rice Saturday live from the back of the float. And it's a sunny Saturday, though. It's not a Sunday. How are you doing, Johnny?
Oh, great. I'm having great fun trying to throw these streamers, Mike. The only thing is the wind seems to catch them, and they wind up on the back of either Beverly Jubb, Ray Stewart, or whatever is happening to be...
College Lane's wrapping you up in
streamers. Yeah. Right, lovely. That's fabulous. It's really fabulous. I mean, what's going off now? Oh, what has he? Oh, Ray's chasing people with aerosols and this sort of thing. Anyway, yes, last week's wet, two, man. This week's two, 6 weeks of the Radio Hallam Top 40 is Dance Away from Roxy Music. And we are, well, we were heading off down to the moor now. We just passed Debenhams. And let's see, heading on down to Atkinson's, where they're building all that lot at the bottom. And everybody's smiling and waving. And it's a lovely day in the Lord Mayor's Parade.
Yesterday.
Ah, happy memories of that particular day. Continuing our out and about broadcast over Christmas and New Year in Sheffield, we did that last year and we're hopeful of doing that again this year in Sheffield, Rotherham, Doncaster and Chesterfield. Radio Hallam visited Royal Air Force Bruggen in West Germany in April. We came a little nearer home in June. We travelled over to Retford and broadcast a concert featuring the Black Dyke Mills Band. music of Franz von Suppe with the overture Light Cavalry, played by the Black Dyke Mills Band, conducted by Major Peter Parks, live from Retford.
Happy birthday to you, you're five! Happy birthday to you, you're five! Happy birthday, Radio Hallam! Happy birthday to you!
The tickets for the great Radio Hallam 5th birthday party starring the Pasadena Roof Orchestra and Gonzales are on sale now at our special birthday price. To you, my boy, only 50 pence. Available from the Top Rank Suite and Radio Hallam reception with a free Radio Hallam 5th birthday space poster for the first 500 sold. The great Radio Hallam 5th birthday party. Tickets only 50 pence.
Get to know Wilkinson's of Sheffield, your newest Schreiber dealer, now offering you a Schreiber sink unit with stainless steel top and mixer taps. Only £69.95 delivered, plus, of course,
thousands of very special items at very special discounts.
See Wilkinson's of Sheffield for all your DIY needs and your Schreiber sink unit at £69.95. Unbeatable and available from Wilkinson Supermarket, Ely Bottom. Well worth a visit.
Earlier this year, Radio Hallam collected an award for the documentary series of programmes about the problems of alcoholism. The series was broadcast on all independent local radio stations in Britain, and here is an extract from just one of the programmes.
Nobody cares about me. Them stinking, horrible neighbours behind their lace curtains. They laugh at me. They like to see me perform. I'll give them performances. Come here, you pig. I'll give you a flaming performance. You'll be sorry when I'm gone.
I'd like to know what makes you so bloody sure.
Where are my tablets? Fetch me my tablets, pig. I'll give you a flaming performance. You'll be sorry when I'm gone.
What should I be sorry for? A bit of peace? A bit of decency at last? Should I be sorry for that?
You'll wish you'd done something for me. You'll wish you'd cared a bit then. I'll do it, you know, I'll do it.
Wish I'd cared? Doreen, I...
Where are my tablets, pig? Pig, pig, where are they?
They're here.
Right. Well, I'm going to take some now. Understand, pig? I'm going to bed and I'm going to take the bottle full.
All right. Check them.
What? I will. I will take them, pig.
Bloody check them, then. All right, enough. Bloody check them. Oh, drunken bitch. Check them.
Right.
Hold my gun.
Well, that was part of a Radio Hallam series, Dying for a Drink, written by Paul Allen, featuring local personalities Andre Evans and Peter Bell, directed by Sean Ferguson, and produced by Ralph Bernard, and broadcast on all ILL stations throughout Britain.
Come carpet buying at the B&C Co-op Castle House. It's the sure way to avoid making those expensive mistakes, because the B&C's professional advice is second to none, and so is their wide and wonderful range of carpets, in all qualities, to suit all pockets. They're the experts in kitchen floor coverings too, and of course offer a highly efficient fitting service. You can use your B&C shopper's card as well, or take advantage of the generous credit terms when you choose your next new carpet from the B&C Co-op Castle House.
Jack Higgins wrote Storm Warning and The Eagle Has Landed. Now his new stunning thriller, Day of Judgment, is out in pan paperback.
For years, an elderly Irish priest smuggled refugees into West Berlin until his capture by the East Germans. Both the Vatican and America want to save him, and the team they picked to rescue him includes an English major, a Jewish undertaker, and an ex-SS officer. Not all will survive.
Read Day of Judgment by Jack Higgins, out now in pan paperback.
Let's catch up and have a laugh at ourselves again.
Praying to know about furs, about what way... Rats.
Two policemen were sitting in the parked car when another blew up. drew up.
When an elegant woman wants a fur, she goes to the experts, Joseph Fox, because they're trained to know about furs, about their wearing qualities, the latest fashion trends, about what makes a winder collection... winder.
The inquest into the Southern Aurora rail smash was told in Melbourne today that the driver of the express, Mr. John Bowden, was dead before the accident. The senior Victorian government pathologist, Mr. James McNamara, said Bowden, aged 52, of Wodonga, had died from heart failure and not from his injuries. The pathologist said it was impossible to say how long before the crash that Bowden had died.
And where are you going, my pretty maid?
Why, to the fiesta, dear sir. My, what big eyes you have.
All the better to see you with a fiesta, my darling. I'll do it again. Stop.
Got me mouth all wrong, then.
What is it to work with a star?
It is light if I can get my voice all rough.
Cross Daggers Catering Limited supply a complete catering service for managing directors or shop floor workers... That's how I did it!
Oh, come on, let's get on with it.
Here's the lowdown on the Skoda Coupe on show at H.D. Han in Maltby. One glance at the Skoda Coupe tells you it's a very exciting sports work.
Watch out for diversions on Duke Street and the start of the City Road. Work started today on some sewers and traffic. It's being diverted around the... not the Alhambra, it's around the, you know, the start of Duke Street and the City Road. So anybody coming in on the A616 or from Manor Top would be well advised to turn down Prince of Wales Road, that's right, down to the Parkway, or to go an alternative route onto Harborough Avenue, Manor Lane, Cricketin Road, and then Broad Street, which might sound a bit complicated, but that also brings you to the middle of town.
You've gotta be joking!
Mike Rouse.
Radio gets to ya.
What just happened was the product of your imagination, and everyone who heard it saw it differently. Provocative radio, the imagination medium.
Radio gets to ya.
Amongst the visitors to our studios this year have included Georgie Fame, The Spinners, Eddie Money, Gordon Giltrap, Sky, Frank White, The Dooleys, Chaz and Dave, Dollar, Dame Edna Everidge, and the list goes on and on. We also welcomed a pioneer in commercial radio. His name is Geoffrey Everett. He was the former managing director of Radio Luxembourg, and he visited Radio Hallam in June this year.
Thank you very much, Keith. And may I say what a great pleasure indeed it is to come along today to join your chat-in. I've got to be terribly careful. You have got a bleep on here, haven't you? I can say anything I want, can I? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, why I particularly wanted to do this broadcast from Hallam. I think I ought to, even if I embarrass everybody here. Moffat's not here yet, but I'll tell you that later. I came up to Hallam some weeks ago and saw Moffat for the first time for 30 years. You don't want to see him more often than once in 30 years. And I was so pleased to renew my acquaintance with him because I regard our Roger as a very, very great broadcaster. In fact, I think probably the best broadcaster, the best voice I've heard on radio. Mm. And we were talking last night and I said, radio has something special. I think it breeds different people to what television does. Without being unkind, I think you can be phony on television to a great extent. You can have that sickly smile. Mm. You know, to mention no names, but, you know, nice to see you, you know.
see you nice.
See you nice, yes. We mustn't mention names because it would be quite wrong of us.
We mustn't be too sincere.
And, no. But I think radio breeds a certain type of individual, and I wanted to come here because I think this is a station, I wasn't joking at the beginning, of professionals. People who love the wireless, as you and I prefer to call it, And I was never a disc jockey. I was always an announcer or a presenter, whatever you want to call them. And I never regarded myself as a disc jockey, and I would have been a very poor one at that. And but I think this station does something. It communicates with the people, and that's what your job is. Sure. Too many of the disc jockeys of today, I feel, are intent to build their own careers rather than to worry about what the public are getting. And I don't think it's been helped. They're over-popularised. And in many ways, their ability suffers. I think some of the very great broadcasters aren't heard today, and they should be. Mm. And this is a station of professionals, and I think what is interesting is that the public themselves approved exactly what you're doing to be right by the figures that you get, by your listening figures. The public are never fooled, never. I tell you something, though, that don't ever leave radio, because it's a great medium and it's a very great thing. And all of you people in Hallam, and I mean this sincerely, you are damn lucky to have these boys. Boys.
Yes, boys. Well, we were once upon a time. Thank you, Geoffrey Everett, for those kind comments. Well, for the last 6 hours or so, we've heard a cross-section of extracts from Radio Hallam programmes. Many have been humorous and entertaining, and surely that's the job of Radio Hallam here in Sheffield, to entertain and to inform. All our programmes have to be approved, however, by the Independent Broadcasting Authority, who look after all 19 ILR stations, as well as independent television up and down the country. The IBA has its headquarters in London, but there is a regional office in Leeds. Radio Hallam reports to both offices. Below the IBA, here in Sheffield, there is a local advisory committee. What is its role? Colin Livesey, Assistant Regional Officer at Leeds.
Well, the prime reason, I suppose, is that the authority in bringing into being independent local radio, the operative word being local, the chances are that in many areas, and Hallam is certainly one, the signal is going out to the local area of Sheffield and therefore can't be heard at our headquarters in Leeds. But that apart, we still have to have, and the Act provides for this, that we shall have local radio advisory committees, which, and that committee shall be the ears of the IBA in the local area. And it's for them to advise the authority on the sound of that station, and that committee shall, so far as is practically possible, represent the listeners in that area, and accordingly advise us, the IBA.
But when you say the listeners in that area, now, how in fact do you choose a committee?
It's almost an impossible task to get 12 people to be completely representative of the area it's serving. And I think particularly so when a third of that committee are statutorily appointed by the local authority. So the remaining 8 people have to represent across the age spread and the socio-economic spread. But nevertheless, we do our best to make the committee as representative as possible. And if any of your listeners are interested in joining the committee or have anything to offer and listen to Hallam critically, we'll be very, very pleased to hear from them.
But what are you looking for in a committee member?
That particular member shall represent his or her particular sphere of influence, their own particular friends, relatives, their workplace, so that they get a representative opinion in their own particular areas.
And one council member here in Sheffield is Pat Allen. How did she become involved with the IBA Advisory Committee?
I was approached by the IBA to represent local housewives who play a significant part in the makeup of the Hallam listeners. And what I have to do is to listen critically, which I don't find too difficult, and report my findings at the committee meetings, which are held 4 times a year in Sheffield.
So would it be fair to say that you would be, in fact, sort of spying on Radio Hallam?
Yes, I suppose you could say that.
Wouldn't mention it. On the 28th of September this year, it was sadly announced that Gerard Young, chairman of Radio Hallam, would resign from his post. But why? Especially when Hallam was making a very good profit and was one of the most successful independent local radio stations in Britain.
Well, the first is I'm nearly 70 years of age, normally directors are expected to retire at that age. There are exceptions. But I think more important than that, it is that I feel the thing is a success now. I've thoroughly enjoyed 7 years of what was originally very hard work launching the thing. Now it's a going concern. It's up to the team and whoever may be appointed to succeed me carry on and make a success of it further.
Gerard Young, former master cutler and chairman of Radio Hallam, who resigned on Friday lunchtime. At an informal presentation, he addressed the staff.
I'm at the end of my industrial career now, and I can quite honestly say there couldn't have been a happier ending. This last 7 years, since long before any of you knew of the existence of the company, until now, has been a very, very happy time. Everybody's worked enormously hard to make it a success. One was very anxious about 4 years, 3 years ago, when the funds were running out,
and one felt a very considerable responsibility for the money that one had raised, the risk capital, but not only that, very considerable responsibility for 35 or 40 people on the payroll here, and seriously wondered whether we'd go to fail, whether we'd have to close down. But everybody pulled together. It's always been a happy ship. It's been a good team. And that has prevailed, and now we're a success. There were plenty of slogging times ahead, but I'm quite sure if the spirit that now prevails here continues, Radio Hallam will continue to be number one independent local radio station, and it's thanks to all of you. Thank you very much.
Gerard Young. His successor as chairman of Radio Hallam was also announced on Friday. He is the current master cutler, Mr. Michael Mallett. Can we in Hallamland expect any major changes in programmes or in staff?
Today we've got with Radio Hallam an important part of the community. When you look back 5 years ago, people in Sheffield didn't really have any great conception of what local radio was about. Today, when you go around the factories and the offices and in the homes of this city, there is an important new dimension represented by this radio station of ours. So we've got the formula right, and whatever we do, we must not change it drastically. But at the same time, times change, needs change, and it's really just a matter of adjusting the output of the station to meet changing requirements over the years, and hopefully persuading the Independent Broadcasting Authority to give us decent transmitters so that we can be properly heard throughout the area that we serve.
Michael Mallett, the new chairman of Radio Hallam. The managing director, chief executive of Radio Hallam, is Bill MacDonald.
It's nearly 6 hours now since Keith Skews started out on this marathon programme, this review of Hallam's first 5 years. We're in show business and the news business, so you heard the voices of our personalities and visiting stars and dignitaries, mostly. But Hallam's a team. The stars couldn't shine without all the people behind the scenes. Our engineers who construct and maintain equipment. Our technicians who operate highly complex machinery. Our secretaries and clerical staff. Our maintenance staff and cleaners. Our receptionists, though they're public figures too, a friendly voice on the phone or at the reception desk. And our commercial staff, the men and women who earn the revenue to pay for it all. Because I don't need to remind you, you pay nothing for Radio Hallam's public service. Just over 50 of us in all, everyone with a vital part to play in the service you've voted your first choice in South Yorkshire and the North Midlands. My thanks go to each and every one.
Thank you, Bill. And my personal thanks go too, especially for this programme, to April Green, Kelly Temple, Mike Lindsay, David Kilner and Brian Bestwick, and the entire Hallam team who've helped in the production of 5 Years of Hallam. This is Keith Skews, programme director, Radio Hallam, in Sheffield. Good evening.
David Roby with Radio Hallam News.